We've started on Friday. The theme of this program is divine intervention. Amen? Amen? For those who were not here and who did not watch online, I'll try as much as possible to quickly summarize because we have a lot of prayers to do. Amen? Amen. I believe in less talking but more of what? Prayers. Divine intervention. Tech, please, you are going to help me. You can put the definition on the board again. According to online, it says the interference of a deity in human life, popularly extended to any miraculous semi-turn of events. Anything that man or that seems to be impossible in the eyes of man, and God causes it to happen, it becomes what? A miracle. Amen? Amen. For those of you who love mathematics, particularly when you start dealing with maths from grade 11 and 12 and so on and so forth, there's what we call polynomial function. Amen? Amen. There are some that are factorable. There are others that are not factorable, but they still have solution. Real solution. Amen? Amen. The church is quiet now. Amen? Amen? For those, whether factorable or unfactorable, that have resolution, you have the solution. Is that not so? You will solve. But there are some, they don't have real solution. You solve, you do whatever you want to do, because of what we call the discriminant. It's less than zero. You say no real solution. In life, there are some problems, they don't have solution naturally. Amen? The fact that even in that polynomial function, that there is no real solution, there is probably another solution which we call imaginary solution. There is still what? A solution. Whatever does not have solution in the physical will certainly have solution in the spiritual. Amen? Amen. I know that some of us, we have been in the valley. Valley of challenges for a very, very long time. The only way that you can get out of that valley of challenges is through divine intervention. Listen, the scripture says 1,000 years is like a day in the eye of the Lord. Is that not what it says? Listen to this carefully now. 1,000 years is like a day in the eyes of the Lord. 1,000 years is not even up to a year in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, we have 365 days in a year. Amen? In the eyes of the Lord, 1,000 years is not even 365 days. He says like a day. So which means even the man that has lived the longest on earth, Methuselah, that lived up to 900 and something years, did not even live up to one day in the eyes of the Lord. How long have you been in that problem that you are saying that there is no solution? That problem in your eye may have been there for 5 years. You may have been married for 5 years, no fruit of the womb. Whether the enemy likes it or not, that womb will not be barren. Because it is not even up to 1 minute. Is somebody here with me? What you have considered to be a long-term problem, in the true sense of it, is not even up to 2 minutes in the eyes of the Lord. Why are you crying? Whether you like it or not, you will experience divine intervention. Amen. You see, there are certain things that the Lord does. He wouldn't do it just because it's you. He will do it so that his name will be what? He says, whatever you ask in my name, he says, I will do so that the name of my Father will be glorified in me. It is not because of you now, but because the glory must go back to somewhere. So whether you like it or not, you will dance a new dance. So when God intervenes in your affairs, what happens? The first thing that will happen, if you have been wearing the garment of mourning, that garment will be taken away. Amen. Listen, one thing about God, he will not take it away and hang it and say, someday I will bring it back. He says he will take it, he will set it ablaze. Amen?
Amen.
And once it is set ablaze, it can never be the same garment that you were wearing before. Then he will bring a new garment and he will wear you. How do I know? Go to the book of Zechariah chapter 4. That is not where we are going to today. He said unto Satan, Satan said to God, he said, that man you are talking to, he said he's wearing a very filthy garment. And God said, how dare you say my anointed is wearing a filthy garment? The enemy is wearing some people garment that do not belong to them. Today, that garment will be dropped. God will intervene in your affair. And he will give you a fresh garment. In the mighty name of Jesus. So on Friday, we looked at some of the ways that God can intervene. One of the ways is that God can intervene by creating an escape route. And we gave an example of Samson. Samson was a man that God loved. I don't know why God loved him so much. Despite his life of what? Promiscuity. He loved him. And this is where you and I should not judge people. You say, oh, look at him. He's singing in the choir. Oh, he's in the prayer meeting. He's, you don't know who God is. Somebody with me? Samson, in one of his escapades, got caught in the act. His enemies surrounded him. They built a fence around him. And according to the scripture, he said they lay wait for him in Judges chapter 16, 2 to 3. They lay wait for him throughout the so that when day breaks, they will catch Samson. But what did Samson do? He woke up. God intervened. He woke up and he took all the fence. He uprooted them and put them on his shoulder. Amen?
Amen.
And he walked majestically. And he took them to the hilltop. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, look at the fence that you guys built to catch me. I have made a public shame. You will make public shame of whatever the enemy has planted against you. And at the end of the day, God created that escape route for him and he ran away. Daniel in lion's den. What happened? You all have seen lions. It's very scary. Even looking at lion alone in picture is scary. They threw this young man in the lion's den. For what? Just because he refused to worship their God. But what did God do? God abandoned him in the lion's den. Oh. Listen, no matter what you are going through, God is aware. Amen?
Amen.
I said, God is aware. No matter how long you have been in that situation, he says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He said, though you walk through the waters, he said, the waters will not swallow you. He said, though you walk through the fire, he said, the fire will not what? Burn you. And this is where the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I shall fear no. I have said the scripture from Genesis to Revelation. My sister, I have not seen anywhere the scripture says we will not have temptation. There is nowhere he says we will not have what? Challenges. He said, but I will not allow you to have temptation or challenges that you cannot handle. And I gave an example. When engineers are building bridges, they first of all have design. Is that not so? On that paper, all the calculations have been done. The maximum load that the bridge can carry. Is that not what they do? Amen? Now, when they now practicalize the concept, put it into practice, they expect the load that the bridge will carry to be a certain amount. Beyond which, they put some percentage and say, okay, assume it is 100 tons. They'll say, okay, maybe up to 120. We call it tolerance. Now, they do not expect that bridge to collapse so long as the load does not exceed 120 tons. Is that not so? That is how God has designed you. He says, I will not allow you to have any temptation that you cannot carry. So any temptation, any challenge you are currently going through now, God already knows, man, that it is something that you can what? Carry. Do not be discouraged. And this is why he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, he says, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast. Which means faith is measurable. Amen? As small as a mustard seed. God is not asking for giant faith. God knows that when challenges come, even the little faith that you have can diminish. But he says he will not what? Leave you. He will intervene in your affair. Yeah. Then we look at physiological needs. How God will meet your physiological needs. We looked at how God commanded the ravens to feed Elijah in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, 2 to 7. Listen. And this is why we, you and I, have to be careful what we say with our mouth. Is somebody with me? It was Elijah that told Ahab. He said, before the God of heaven whom I stand, he said, there shall be no rain. Is that not what he said? And for 3 years, no rain. During that period, Elijah also suffered the lack of air. True? He had no water. He had no food. But God took care of him. He commanded the raven to bring him food throughout the day. And the brook by Cherith was full of water. But as Elijah was drinking and no more fresh water was coming, after some time, the brook also what? May you not use your mouth to kill yourself. And this is why when somebody says, I must do this to so and so person over my dead body, I say, well, you've already pronounced a death sentence on yourself. Amen? You have said it. Elijah suffered it. But that's not where we are going to this morning. But God fed Elijah, gave him, commanded the raven to feed him, and at the same time, provided him water. Now, the next thing is for you to cast your burden. There are many of us, when we even go to doctor, and doctor says, take Tylenol, or take this, or take that, we start arguing with the doctor. If you were as good as the doctor, why not a doctor? Amen? The Lord says, cast your burden upon me. Amen? He said, why are you worrying? This thing you are worrying yourself for, at the end of the day, may never, never what? Happen. He says, cast your burden upon me, and I will what? I will sustain you. Then we also looked at, we didn't get there. If you go to Psalm 23, has anybody really taken time to study that Psalm 23? He says, the Lord is my what? And I shall want. God forbid. He says, I shall not. He maketh me to lie down. But do you know why David was using those words? David was a shepherd boy. David knows what it takes for him to feed his sheep. The pasture, by definition, is a field that has been prepared for the animal to feed on. So God has already prepared the field that you will feed on. Amen? Amen. Whether in Canada, whether in the U.S., anywhere, God, wherever God has positioned you, he has prepared a field for somebody. Is somebody with me? But before you get to that green pasture, there are journeys you have to make. Amen? I have never seen a green pasture in the bedroom. Hello? He has prepared it for you. It is for your responsibility now to identify and locate where the green pasture is. He says, he maketh me to lie down in the... In other way, when the sheep gets there, oh my God, this is food. My time of realization has what? And he says, well, he restored my soul. Is that what he says? He leaded me by the side of the still water. Why did he say still water? Why? The reason is very simple. Sheep, they have a challenge. when the water is moving, they become what? Dizzy. Amen? So for their sake, God will now cause the water to remain what? Still. So that they can drink. Every storm in your life, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every storm shall be calm. In the mighty name of Jesus. So when the water is now calm, then the sheep can what? They can drink. If you go further, it says, he anointed my head with what? Why? The reason is very simple. When the oil is on the head of the sheep, flies do not come. Amen? Flies will not come near the oil. And that is why David used that as analogy. So when God has anointed your head with oil, where will failure come from? Tell somebody, I am destined for greatness. I didn't say, she said, look at somebody and say, I am destined for greatness. My best is yet to come. I say, my best is yet to come. Now, another way that God can intervene is to even make sure that your future generations do not suffer. If you go to Psalm 37 verse 25, David said, from when I was young till now that I am old, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the children what? Divine intervention. Many of us here, like I said on Friday, our parents were probably from very, very obscured villages. Amen? With due respect, including me, the villages probably are not even on the map. Amen? If God had not taken our parents from those villages, or had not taken us from those villages to where we are now, some of those people in the village probably would have been better than you and I. Have you ever thought of that? You are not who you are because of who you are. You are who you are because of how God wants you to what? To be. All glory must be given back to him. Do not say I'm very intelligent. You could be very intelligent. You could also have been very, very dull. Is that not so? So that God that has given you that spirit of intelligence will perfect all that concerns you. Restoration of health. We'll start from there today. Restoration of health. There are people that were given even less than 6 months to live. Amen? There were people who were not even given any hope to live. I'll give you one example. You want to have one example? Me. According to my elder sister, they said when I was 3 months old, my older sister was carrying me. And suddenly I fell down. They said I was stretching, about to die. No ambulance. They had to run through the back of the house and took me to the hospital. I don't know, is the story ahead. Amen? I could have been dead. Amen? And to the glory of God, I have never slept any hospital to the best of my knowledge. I have never. COVID came. I was in the midst of people with COVID. I went to hospital. I went everywhere to the glory of God. I never caught COVID. Amen? God will restore somebody's health to his original form. Amen. Whereby, no matter what it is, I'm not saying people who have headache or people, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not even saying people who have health challenge. But whatever health challenge you have, God will restore you. Amen. Because he had an original template with which he created you. He will restore you back. All he needs from you is your faith and your belief. Many of us have belief, but we do not have faith. Some have faith, they do not have belief. Amen? You don't believe me? I'll tell you something now. When Jesus said unto Peter, when he was walking on the water, he said, ask me to come. He said, okay, come. Is that also? He believed that if Jesus asked him to come, he will come. Is that also? But as soon as he started walking, what now happened? He now said, by the way, what am I doing? At that point, he lacked faith. And what now happened? He started sinking. There are many of you, you came to Canada to prosper. True of us. You brought your children to prosper. Is that not so? But when the challenges of Canada hit you, you say, oh my God, are you sure I heard clearly from God? I'm assuring somebody here this morning, you heard very loud and clear. Amen? Why? I once felt exactly the same way that you felt. I just want to avoid repeating my story. I shared it again on Friday. My first job in Canada, with due respect, and I still cherish that job. You are laughing. You remember the story. Was $10.25. Amen? And it took me 3 months to get that job. Somebody coming from a very, very high position. And when I got that job after 3 months, they say, following the satisfactory completion of your probation period, your job is hereby confirmed with a salary increase of 25 cents per hour. I looked at the man. The man looked at me. He said, Victor, you don't seem excited. Oh, I said, yes, I'm excited. Excited. And I had to go from Scarborough to Highway 50. Have you suffered? At a point in my life here, when somebody gives me $20, I almost need to say thank you. Amen? I didn't know that God was teaching me the spirit of what? Humility. Whereas before I came, if you give me 2 million Nigerians, say you are insulting me. But $20 became like a gold. From that day, I made a vow. Anyone I know that comes after me into this country will never suffer. I will do everything within my power to support. I saw humiliation. What could be more humiliating than that? Increasing somebody's salary by 25 cents per hour. I tell you, and I encourage somebody here this morning, God did not make mistake by bringing you to Canada. God will establish you here. Amen. How do I know? He says, wherever you tread your foot upon, he says, you shall what? You shall possess. Be strong. Be courageous. God, he that has been your Ebenezer. God is not the God of abandoned projects. He will intervene in your affair. Amen. He will change your situation. In the mighty name of Jesus. Another example is Peter's mother-in-law. According to the scripture, Peter got to the house. The woman was very, very sick. And what did Peter do? He commanded the fever to get out of the woman. And the woman was restored. The blind Bartimaeus. You all know the story in the Bible. According to the scripture in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Here was a man born blind, always begging by the side of the road. But when God intervened in his affair, Jesus was passing by. He heard about him and he started screaming. The more he was screaming, the more people were asking him to keep quiet. There's a lesson there. What is that lesson? And maybe that is what has prepared me to get to the level of prayer that God has taken me. I always look at, imagine how many people are calling upon God on daily basis. Hello? How many people are on their knees praying to God, seeking for God's attention? Can you imagine the number of people? The more this man was shouting, the more people were asking him to keep quiet. He said, no, today is my day of divine intervention. I'm not going to let it by. Go by. Oh, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the son of David. Have mercy. He was screaming. And his screaming now caught the attention of Jesus. How have you been screaming? How have you been seeking God? He says he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Have you given up? Listen, where there is life, the scripture says a living dog is better than a what? So long as you have life, there is what? There is hope. Do not give up. Your current story, like your pastor said on Friday, shall become God's glory. Amen. I say whatever, listen, if you do not have story, if you just say, oh, I was born from here, I just moved, then there's something wrong. Amen? Many of us have stories. I just shared mine. Now, if I give the microphone to each and every one of you, you'll probably find out that my story is even better. Amen? Somebody said he used to smoke heavily, and he came through the sea to Europe. And when he saw the turbulence, he told God, he said, if you deliver me, I will stop smoking. I don't know whether I was doing God favor by stopping. But he made a vow. And up to now, he never smoked again. It was a vow. So what are the challenges that you have? You wake up in the morning, you open your fridge, you have whole wheat bread. Amen? You have the whole wheat bread. You have the... No, let's concentrate on bread first. You have the whole wheat bread. You have the brown bread. You have the white bread. You have the yellow bread. You have the puff bread. You have all manner of bread. And meanwhile, you are crying that you are suffering. There are people, they don't even have what we call in Nigeria, chin chin. May God help us. We have so many options, and at times the options now become our problem. The options will now become our what? Problem. You have all manner of milk. Almond milk, soya milk, oat. Let somebody be grateful to God. And this is why the songwriter says, when I think of the good and all he has done for me, my very soul shall when you have life, there is hope. And when there is hope, there is solution. The solution may not be exactly the same way that you were expecting it. One good thing about God, if you don't know this, please know, he is not a God of abandoned projects. Whatever he starts, he says, he who has started a good work in your life is what? When the scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6 that David encouraged himself in the Lord, these are the kind of things that David will look back and say, what did he say? He said, listen, when he was going to fight Goliath and they were discouraging him, he said, what are you guys talking about? When the bear came to attack my sheep, I destroyed them with my hands. When this happened, I did it. So when these challenges are coming, speak to those challenges and say, you have an expiry date. Whether you like it or not, a time is coming that I will rejoice over you. How do I know? Darkness can never comprehend light. No matter how small your light is, and no matter how big darkness is, if you put that little light on, everybody will see the light. There is hope at the end of the tunnel. No matter how dark the tunnel may be, somebody here this week, you will remember this preaching. Because there will be deliverance. Because there will be healing. I say because there will be reconciliation. There will be reconstruction. And somebody will shout hallelujah. Let's look at divine connection. The widow of Zarephath and Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17. God told Elijah, go there. I have commanded a widow to feed you. Listen to this carefully, please, brothers and sisters. When Elijah got to the gates, according to the scripture, he said the woman was picking sticks of wood, right? Is that not what the scripture said? She was completely oblivious of the presence of Elijah. This is a woman that God says, I have commanded to feed you. But when the person that she was commanded to help came, she didn't recognize him. There are many of you here. God has commanded people to help you, but they have not recognized you. But what did Elijah do? He was very diplomatic. Elijah did not go to the woman and say, God told me I commanded you. Elijah said, woman, the woman came. He said, please, he didn't ask for food. He said, can you get me water? Very diplomatic. The woman said, okay, no problem. The woman went to fetch the water. And I said, but come. Actually, what I need is not just water. I also need food, cake. Is that not so? What now happened? What did the woman say? When he asked for water, did the woman complain? Man? But when he now asked for food, what did the woman say? The woman said, I have no food though. The only food I have, I just want to eat it with my soul so that we may what? Die. Is that not what she said? You can imagine if Elijah had started by asking for food, probably that would have been the end of what? Conversation. Be diplomatic in your approach to people. Even if you know that that person is positioned to help you, don't say, but my father helped your father. My mother this would. No! Don't be militant. You know what I mean? Be diplomatic. Say, bros, what is going on? Please, anything you can do to help you. Am I right? But don't go there with entitlement mentality. You will ruin your relationship. Elijah went to this woman diplomatically. He didn't go there with entitlement mentality. Say, God has commanded you to help me. You must help me or you will fall and die. He didn't do that. Your prof marked your paper very poorly in your exam or your test. Your first step should not be, if you don't change it, I'm taking you to the registrar. No. Hey, prof, what is going on here? Please, could you make me understand why you took mark of this? You know what I mean? Be what? Diplomatic. It is not every time you exercise your rights. The only time that you should exercise is when the enemy, the devil, is trying to tempt you. The Bible says you should resist him. Is somebody with me tonight? So I beseech you by the mercies of God, apply that principle of what? Diplomacy. Then you have the story of the Good Samaritan, which you all know. These are all divine connections. You can imagine he that was attacked by the thieves. If the Good Samaritan had not come through that way, probably would have died from what? From bleeding. God will link you somebody up this week. Amen. I said God will link somebody up this week. Amen. Another way that God can intervene in your affair, through divine remembrance. Tell somebody divine remembrance. Amen. I'm sure you know the story of Jonathan and Saul. Amen? And David. How Saul troubled the life of David to the extent twice he tried to kill David had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he didn't. Eventually, Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle. But when David ascended the throne, David said he was going to look for somebody from the household of Saul to be a blessing to. And he met a guy called Ziba, who was his servant. And he said, is there anybody still left in the household of Jonathan or Saul? He said, yeah, there is one. Jonathan had a son called what? He said, where is he now? He said, he's so and so placed. Is it possible to bring him? God remembered him. I don't know what favor your parents have done in the past. I don't know what favor you have done for other people in the past. It is not just only you that will reap the good of those favor. Your children will also reap from the good. In the mighty name of Jesus. I want to quickly look at salvation. Divine connection bringing you salvation. We all know the story of Saul of Tarsus, going to Damascus. How Jesus appeared and how his life was saved. So there are many things we can go on and all. Look at that woman. When they brought him, he was even describing himself as a dead dog. He said, "Why are you mindful of me? I've even worse than a dead dog," right? But no matter how you see yourself, there is a way that God sees you. He sees you differently. You might see yourself, "Oh, this marriage is failed. Oh, that is that. That is." Mm-mm. God is not seeing a failed marriage. God is seeing a marriage that is that of a role model. Amen? In other words, he's allowing you to pass through those challenges so that you can counsel others. Amen? It is not all challenges that are bad. So long as you do not die in those challenges, there is always a lesson for you and I to learn. Amen? Look at the thief that was hung on the tree on the day Jesus was also crucified. He was destined for hell. But Jesus said, "Today, it shall be." I don't know who is here this morning. God has intervened in your affair. Your route to hell has been routed to heaven. In the mighty name of Jesus. Support. Whoever has the support of God can never fall or fail. If you doubt what I'm saying, go and read 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 8. David came, his house was ransacked, everything destroyed. He saw the face of God. He said, "Should I pursue? Will I overtake?" Those were the two questions that David asked. But when God now answered, he said, "You will not only pursue and overtake." He said, "You shall what? Recover all." Rise to your feet this morning. Whatever it is that you think that you have lost on account of sickness, on account of job relocation, on account of immigration, by the power vested upon me as a servant of the Most High God from this altar of Bethel Assembly, I decree and I declare, there shall be restoration. Amen. Listen, listen. In the world, they say it's not possible to recover lost time. Is that not what they say? They say the time is lost, it's lost. Don't ever believe it. If you go to the book of Joel chapter 2, it says, "I shall restore the years." And to the best of my knowledge, year or years is a measure of what? So when they say you cannot recover, that is for them. He said, "I shall restore the years that the caterpillar, the cankerworm, warmth, the great army have eaten." So who says your time cannot be restored? Who says your... I know somebody, by the grace of God, they've been believing God for the fruit of the womb. They've done all manner of things, IVF, nothing. As I speak with you now, to the glory of God, they are expecting a set of twins. In other words, probably they were even planning to have one child. Amen? But God says, "I will restore." Who says you are too old to find a husband? When people were asked to go and spy on the land, they came back. Apart from Caleb, they said, "That place is good though." He said, "But there's a problem." He said it is infested with what? Giants. He said, "We were like ants in their eyes." Were you in their eyes? Why are you putting yourself down? Who says you are too old to find a man? No, you are not to find a man. A man will find you. Can I hear better? Amen. Amen. Your man will find you. If you are a man looking for, you will find the right woman. Amen. But you must remain in the Lord. He says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. Say with me this morning, "Oh God of heaven and earth, by your mercy and by your grace, let there be divine intervention in my life, in my affairs." Let somebody pray this morning. Please pray this morning. Let there be divine intervention. 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 Is it your job? Is it your job? Is it your health? Is it in the life of your child? Let there be divine intervention. Let there be divine intervention. Let there be divine intervention in my affair. Intervene! Intervene! Intervene in my affair. For too long, I have wet my pillow with my tears. Let my tears of sorrow be turned to tears of joy. Intervene! Intervene! Because the hands of God are upon you, the hands of the enemy will not be upon you. Intervene in my affair, Lord. By your mercy and by your grace. By your mercy and by your grace. Even if it has to do with immigration, even if they have rejected your appeal, there is God in heaven that you can appeal to. Speak to him this morning. Intervene in my affair. Intervene in my affair. Intervene in my affair. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Before I take this final prayer point, I make my boast in the Lord. Amen. He says in Numbers 23:19, he said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, will he not do it? Is that not what he says? Now go to Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19. He says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. And finally, Numbers 14:28, he says, whatever you speak into my ear, that I will do. I don't know what you want to speak into his ear this morning. He's not going to lie. Amen. I want somebody to say, oh God of heaven and earth, by your mercy and by your grace, divinely intervene in my affair. Please mention that affair. Speak to him.